All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now with a touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
Fuck off.
And
we mean that in a good way. Joe Bartnick, and look who our special guest is, man.
The great.
The legendary.
Jimmy Schubert.
Yeah, oh, man. You guys are too kind.
It's the like outlaw.
It's like an ego massage parlor in here now.
The outlaw. Nice.
What's up? Yeah, the old days. I mean, were around for those phrases. We were hanging out at the comedy store with the, you know, Kinnison dude. back in the day, man.
Those were the days
of the comedy store, bro. It was nuts. I mean, you could go. I used to watch Pryor come in. Rob Williams, and Sam and Dice, and you know, Damon Wayans. But I mean, all these guys were like just coming up. I mean, every guy that went on stage was like almost like, you know, it was amazing. And of course, the partying and the I probably got laid more at that comedy store.
Wow. In one night than these kids do all year.
No.
I'm with those dopey kids all the time now. I'm still down there.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say they're dopey kids. They're good kids, but it's not like our heyday.
No. We didn't have setups and punchlines like these kids have today. We had to jump in the audience and tickle people fresh. back in the day.
Yeah. No, Richard Pryor ain't walking through that front door. No. Sam Kinison ain't walking through that front door.
Well, these kids are actually probably better than us. They're more organized, but we had more fun.
Well, you know, yeah, we did have more fun. But, you know, I noticed today that they all put that, you know, the social media cart before the horse, where it's like, hey, you know, I got 5,000 followers on Twitter. I go, oh, it doesn't make a difference. Are you funny? That's all that makes. Yeah. That's all that matters. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. You can't fake funny.
No. Yeah. Well, I'm trying.
Yes. maybe you can. All right. You know, I was watching. I know this is a hockey podcast, but I was watching the Grey Cup.
Well, that's Canadian football. Canadian, that's pretty close phrase.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It seemed like they should have been playing hockey. It was 8-0.
Oh, wow.
8-0, guys. I couldn't tell if the cheerleaders were hot or not. They were all in parkas.
Yeah, right. I'm sorry. No, listen, the Grey Cup is like their Super Bowl. It's Canada's Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Now their football field is much wider than ours.
Yeah, it's like 20 yards wider on each side.
On each side. Yeah. And it's more of a kind of a passing game that they
it has to be because they only got three downs.
They got three downs.
Yeah. So you got
and the end zone's much larger. It's an extended end zone.
Larger end zone, and you can somehow score a point by just kicking it into the end zone.
Oh, is that right?
Really?
Yeah. I don't know how that works. Like 1 point.
Okay. So you're watching.
I'm watching the game. It's a bad sign though. They forgot to introduce the home team. How do you do that?
Well, you know, I don't think you really have to introduce the home team. I think everybody knows who everybody is.
But maybe.
You said they introduced the other team.
They introduced the other team, and it took so long because they had to do it in English and then French that they just go, okay, we don't have time to introduce the home
team. Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
And then one guy he runs out and he falls down during the opening. When they introduce him, he falls down.
He falls down. That's not good.
Not good.
No, bad Canadian sign. You should be able to skate. Well, let alone fall on grass. That's the one thing you should be able to do is run out on an icy field.
Come on, man. And then they had snowmobiles at halftime jumping over flames.
Wow.
Keep warm.
I got news for you. That's not actually bad. I wouldn't mind seeing a halftime
fun
show.
To watch.
Yeah, they should have that. They should do that here.
That would be better than Janet Jackson's half a tit.
I got news for you. Actually, you slow it down, you zoom in on it. It doesn't look bad, bro. It's got a little metal ring around the nipple.
Let me tell you something.
To me, that beats snowmobiles.
Yeah, I'm in.
I saw that.
A little wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah, yeah. I saw that tit on the biggest screen non-stadium screen, I think, in the world. It was in Denver, Colorado. I was there, and you hit off for the Super Bowl, so I was there for the Sunday. And I still didn't actually know what it was until they said the next day.
Oh, really? Well, that's the world we're living in now. We're living in a, you know, an MTV Miley Cyrus backdrop with a Bruno Mars halftime show.
That's why I'd rather just see. If it's not Prince, just bring out the snowmobiles.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Last year, they had Bieber.
At the Grey Cup?
Yeah.
He's Canadian.
He's too big now. He can't do it now.
He's too big. Put him on a snowmobile.
Well,
no, drag yeah.
And make the flame a little bigger.
Yeah. Drag him.
Bieber, I like it.
Drag him through the. Drag him on the back of the snowmobile as you go through the hoop.
Crisp him up a little bit.
They had Bieber and Gordon Lightfoot, who looked like the Crypt Keeper.
Gordon Lightfoot,
900 years.
Wow,
old.
He is old.
But I do love Canada. I've toured up there. I like Canadians. I run into Canadians all over the world. Like I was in China and Israel and in Mexico. You just run into Canadians everywhere. There's some of the nicest people on.
And
the
great planet. Audience, right?
The great China? Audience. There's great audience. I do Rick Bronson's House of Comedy up there in Edmonton.
That's a great club. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was up there maybe like 2 years ago or last year for the Grey Cup. But you could see people walking in that giant mall. It's a giant mall.
That
of
mall's huge, man. The biggest. In the
they
world.
Have a They have a gun range in the mall. I said to him, you people got balls. We would never do that in America. You know, give a sociopath a chance to warm up at the gun range before he went on a shooting spree.
We do have a gun range.
This guy's 15 for 15. He's good.
We do have a gun range at the mall. It's in the food court.
Oh. It's not official. But
yeah, it's not official. Yeah. But you know what? You can get 15 rounds off easily.
You know what else they have at that mall? A submarine. An actual submarine. You can take a submarine.
Yeah, they have a beach and an ice skating rink at that mall. It's huge.
A beach.
They have. You can go in this water park and has a wave machine, and you can lay in this. No, but it's not. But it's like a beach. It's like set up like a beach. Like you can go out there and lay out if you want to.
Well, all those. I mean, in Minnesota, they have like the world's biggest adult or kid theme park. Like, there's a town called Wisconsin Dells or something like that.
No,
they got a big mall there in St. Paul.
They have a million water parks. It's like a Disneyland for people in Minnesota. It's like insane.
They actually have a water boarding park for people who
it's down in Cuba. Right?
It's down in Cuba.
Well, that's in Guat Bay.
Because there's so many terrorists now. They just run through the. You get to run through the waterboarding theme park.
Hey, terrorists have to have fun too.
Yeah, the terrorists have to have fun too. Talk about extracting information. It's why not extract information and have fun?
And have a
vacation.
It's
the water plume and it's the water plume and waterboarding. Right.
I promise we'll talk about hockey after this. One more thing. Have you seen they just built the world's biggest water slide? Did you see that? It's going to
Where's
be
that?
In Texas, I believe.
Oh, of course.
It was absolutely ridiculous.
Goes all the way to Arizona.
It's for Mexicans. Just to drop them right off.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got news for you. It's going to open up.
A real wetback. Yeah. Wait a minute.
Hey. You know, it's going to.
God. It was a joke.
It was a joke. But what's going to happen? The theme park's going to open up. Someone's going to go down the giant water slide and just kind of catapult off the water slide, and someone's going to die on it. And they're going to go.
They'll wind up in Canada.
It was literally like 50 stories, and you know the sides didn't look very. And you went down in a tube with four other guys, supposedly opening next year. I'm like, you got to be crazy.
Yeah,
wow.
That there's
yeah. Sounds like a possible Olympic sport.
Yeah, it's coming. Speaking of hockey, we've had a nice little fun talking. But are you a fan of the Olympic hockey, or you just would rather have the NHL? Jimmy,
no,
let's make this.
No, I do like the Olympic hockey. I mean, I think it's one of the legitimate sports that you can do, and I like that. You know, some of the NHL players get to play with their home countries, and I think it's really, you know, like golf. I mean, it is an international sport. I mean, it does better. Even in the States, it's better up north where it's snowy and people have people play it. I mean, down south, like it's not as big, you know, like in some of the southern parts of the States, but up north it is big. But I think that it truly is an international sport, much like golf is. I think you can find. So, yeah, I think it's I like it. I like hockey in the Olympics.
See, I like hockey when they used to do the World Cup every other summer. And then the guys had off from the NHL, then now they can all play for the country. I just think I'm just a bigger NHL fan, and I think it kind of ruins.
You think it wrecks the season a little bit?
Yeah, because look especially our teams. We have Jimmy here because he is a Philadelphia Flyer fan, so we had to finally invite the enemy in town.
Yeah,
Arch-enemies. But for age, like the Penguins are going to have 10 guys now playing for 3 weeks and getting worn out because they're the best.
And what if somebody gets hurt?
Yeah, look, that's who just got. You're gonna have Zetterman playing. Oh, your best Cronmo, all the best Red Wings.
How many games does they play in the hockey season? What is it?
82
games in the hockey season.
Yes,
so that's not bad. But you're right. It does. I see what you're saying.
But here's the thing: they always say that we don't do as well as we could because it's an all-star team, so they don't have that much time to play together. Like some of the other countries are playing all year together.
No, well, not anymore, though, because all the best Russian guys are like Malkin and Ovechkin. Well, they're here. Yeah, and all the best Canadian guys are here.
But that was what they said in the past, right?
But in the past, the Russians did have, I mean, the only team that was would have been any good would have been the Canadians. If all the pros lined up, you know, I mean,
yeah, but if you think about it, let's go back to 1980. Was that the year the miracle on ice happened? Yeah. But I got to tell you, I mean, to me, that was unbelievable. That story is unbelievable. That's, you know, and that happened because of the Olympics.
Oh, 100%. I mean, that's probably why I'm as big a hockey fan as I am now, because the Penguins stunk. I mean, they were blue. That's when you guys used to kill us for 20
well,
years.
Well, that's because, that was when I was at 73, 74, and 76, we won the Stanley Cup, and everybody was huge Flyers. I mean, you go down to Gino's Cheesesteaks, they got a little plaque above the window.
Yeah.
It says, only the Lord saved more than Bernie Perron. But, I mean, all those guys, Moose DuPont, Rick McLeish,
Ed Van Imp.
Yeah, he had more penalty minutes. They called them the Broad Street Bullies for a reason, man.
Yeah, man.
Bobby Clark.
Did you ever meet any of those guys?
Yeah, I met Rick McLeish.
Did you?
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome player.
And I miss meeting Bernie Perron. He was at a function night. I didn't get there in time. He took off. But, yeah, those guys, forever, especially in a town like Philly, you know, which is a great sports town, I mean, those guys could never do any wrong in a town like that.
And remember when Team Canada beat the Russians? And remember when the Russians pulled their team off the ice?
Right.
In that one game? It was because Ed Van Imp lowered the boom on one of them with a cross check. And they go, we're out of here.
Oh, yeah. Well, the Flyers destroyed the Russians in an exhibition game. The Russians never came back.
Yeah. That's right.
No, they did. They literally, right. It was like the cold. It was like the Flyers kicked more ass than anyone did in Korea.
Yeah.
on the commies.
Well, they didn't, they just, they were the Broad Street
Boys. Yeah, I mean, they changed.
But that's, it was a great team for that time in that town. I mean, that town's a tough town. Philly's a tough town.
Talk about a Cold War.
You know, Joe Frazier is from Philly, actually Muhammad Ali had come to Philly when he was trying to get, I saw a great HBO documentary, not to change the subject of boxing, but how Joe Frazier allowed Muhammad Ali to come fight and would lend him money and stuff. And
he lent him some dough, yeah.
Lent him some dough and took care of him. And you see, they go, wow, man, Muhammad Ali was an asshole.
And he started bad-mouthing him.
Yeah, he started bad-mouthing him and stuff, and he gave him the chance. But, I mean, he was no question about it. He deserved to be there. He was a champion. But man, what an asshole. You would have thought he would have been a nicer guy to Joe Frazier because Joe Frazier let him get back in the game. But, boy, wow.
Well, Frazier got him in that first fight.
Yeah. Well, that dude, in order for to be a Muhammad Ali, there had to be a Joe Frazier. They're forever connected like that. But I got to tell you, I mean, there's a great documentary about that too on HBO where Muhammad Ali was this kind of like anti-war kind of guy, and Frazier was a kind of establishment guy. So not only was this all this everything going on
political drama.
Political drama was behind it. And there was it was kind of a layered thing leading up to this fight that was just it's pretty amazing. But they did it three times. Pretty impressive.
Well, Philly is a tough town, and they've got the toughest fans. Those are the fans who threw the snowballs at Santa.
Yeah, but it's the second most dangerous fans across the board. I think Detroit's probably the most dangerous hockey fans. Oakland Raiders would be the most dangerous football fans.
They're dangerous.
You know what I mean? I think the New York Yankees fans are probably the most dangerous sports fans. But, I mean, I remember a couple years ago, there was a front page picture on a newspaper. I think it was the Daily News, Philadelphia Daily News. Some dude's wearing a New Jersey Devils shirt, and some dude in a Flyer jersey just punching him right in the face. I mean, ridiculous.
Oh, I know.
I mean, it's just a game. It's just a game.
Everywhere you go. I mean, I was just up in Toronto, so there's a whole mecca of fans. Every single team thinks they hate the Flyers. Like they hate, like, their number one hated team, except Boston hates Montreal. But then the Flyers are like second. Like, but literally
you
after
that,
everybody hates the Flyers fans, you know.
No, you're just saying that because you hate them. People,
no, I don't. Dude, you think New Jersey fans like the Flyer fans?
No.
No, do you think do you think the Ranger fans like Flyer fans?
No.
You think Capital fans like Flyer fans?
No. But there's some other
there's some case other, closed.
There's some other conferences.
Let's keep going with that.
So people are impartial. Well, you hate him? I don't know if I hate him, but, you know.
I will say this, though. Flyer fans did give Lemieux a standing O when he came back from cancer. I thought that for a city that, you know.
Booed Santa Claus.
Yeah, I thought, all right.
They only booed him. They hit him with snowballs. I thought that was pretty classy.
And I know this is a hockey podcast, but who I am really happy for is Andy Reid, who's in Kansas City.
Yeah, he's doing great.
I mean, you know,
he found a ton of good restaurants, which he needed.
No, but I mean, it's just what is he 8-1 over there?
Or hey, Lee lost 9-1.
Oh, did they 9-2?
He lost yesterday.
Yeah, they're 9-2.
They're 9-2, but I still think that's pretty good for him.
Oh, he's had a great year.
Yeah, I think they're.
Now, did they run him out of town there, or?
No, you know, what happened was, and this is why, like, you know, if you're being from Philly, and this is why I also hate Philly, is like, you know, Philly, I don't hate Philly, but there's an element to Philly. Like, if you go to sporting events, there's these, they call them Philbillies, like these inner city rednecks. And, man, come on, what, you know, they're just, I don't know if we even call them, but they're just these kind of low-end douchebags. It's just, you know, people are like, come on, man, it's the Flyers. Like, shut up, man. We're here watching a game, you idiot.
Well, they give the Flyer fans a bad name.
Well, they also, I mean, there was a story in the news where a guy was at a baseball game with his daughter, and his kid was drunk and acting like an idiot and put his fingers down his throat and threw up on the guy. The guy happened to be an off-duty cop and beat the kid senseless, which, you know, I applaud. But, you know, my brother takes his daughters to the game and and the kids are going, yeah, my daughters are here. He goes, come on, man, it's the Eagles. Like, you know, like, that's like, come on, you idiot. You know, but there's an element I don't like about Philadelphia fans either. But, I mean, why else would they put a...
Well, they're tough on their players, too. I mean...
Well, they were yelling things about Andy Reid's kid that had OD'd early in the season. That's why your son killed himself. Like, I'm going, are you doing this to a guy? I mean, really, you heartless bastard. I mean, why would you say that shit? You know, it's horrible.
Yeah, it hurts the hockey team, though, because I'll tell you, we talked about this before, though, because they live for the fighting and the blood and the cheap shots. A lot of those guys... The team is built. They're advertised as such, billed as such, and that doesn't help in hockey in the year 2014.
Well, you know, we're living in different times now. Did he bully? Did he bully the hockey player? Did he hurt the hockey player?
No, but I'm saying is like you can't intimidate. I mean, like they hate Crosby. Crosby leads like. Always scores, kills them because he gets fired up to play them because they knocked his teeth out the first time they played, so he's been pissed at them ever since.
Remember when Karmeloff got knocked out by Bobby Clark in the Team Canada series, right? The guy goes, take him out, we can't stop him. So Clark went out and, you know, snapped his...
I love that. What are you going to do? Yeah. This guy's killing you. Take him out.
Yeah.
It's like the Karate Kid. Take out his knee.
Yeah.
Take him out. Yeah, can't beat a guy.
No, but I mean, but it, you know, it... I don't know. It's kind of impossible to even have a normal conversation with most Flyer fans, though, because that's the way they see it. It's like Steeler fans, if you get back to... They just believe in running the ball. You know, it's like the world has changed.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever run into Eleanor at a Flyers game?
No, but I've run into her on a couple airplanes flying back in the Philly. She was with Dice. We ran into Dice at the, you know, but flying back in the Philly, which I'm getting ready to go back there. I'm flying into Philly Thanksgiving night because I'm doing David Tell's new show.
Oh, you're doing the new Attell show?
Yeah,
huh?
the late night, the uncensored, unfiltered kind of thing. So I'm looking forward to doing that. We're doing it at the cellar at the Underground down there. And,
sweet.
Yeah, man, it's kind of cool. I'm very excited.
That's great, man. And you just did a thing with James Caan?
Yeah, I did the Back in the Game, which is about the Little League baseball parents kind of thing. But yeah, it was great to work with.
Was Caan cool?
He was. You know, it's funny. I show up and the executive producer comes over and I told him three jokes. You know, I was just telling him, and he goes, he was laughing. He goes, Jimmy, get over here. So I told, he goes, tell Jimmy those jokes. And I told him the jokes. He was crying. Laughing, he goes, and then the rest of the day was, I got one for you. So we were trading jokes the rest of the afternoon. So it was great. Plus, we got to hang out on the golf course. I played a pharmaceutical rep where he hustles for $1,600. It comes down to the last thing. It's a putt for $1,600. And the kid goes, I got this. You know, the kid, kind of build the kid's confidence up. So he makes the putt for $1,600. So it's all good. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, that's cool, man. You kind of remind me of James Caan a little bit, doesn't he?
Yeah, dude, I tell you what, dude, for an older cat, that guy's in shape, and man.
He played football, played for Michigan State.
Yeah, he did play for Michigan State, but he's an athlete. Yeah.
Oh, he's a boxer, too.
He's a boxer, and he's no joke. He's the real deal, man. Sonny Corleone.
Yeah.
Just don't go through a toll booth with him, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Not, yeah. You don't want to be on that ride.
No. He was also in Entourage. He got shots out on Entourage. Like, hey, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
That was the best part of those last three seasons. Yeah. Was you in it.
Yeah, man. You were great in Vegas, too.
I was not in Vegas.
What were you in? Wasn't Vegas? No.
Two Broke Girls. I've done a bunch of stuff, but it's nice to do those things that
I thought it was Vegas. You were in something. You were really good in that. You're good on TV.
Oh, thank you, man.
Law and Order, maybe.
Yeah. No, it's good to, you know, I like doing it because it's you know, you get your health insurance. You're able to, like, you know, I feel like a part of a union. You know, when you do stand up comedy, you're kind of like a free agent. But you know, if you get enough acting work, then you can get your insurance and stuff. And I feel like I'm connected to, you know, you feel like you're part of something bigger if you're in the union. I'm gonna throw what I gotta do to get the union back. What are we talking here?
What's your favorite club in Philly?
You know, it's so funny because there's only one club in Philly called Helium, but the guy hasn't had me back for a week. It's like, you know how you get no love in your own hometown? It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So it's like everywhere else I do well, but he'll book me for like one night on a Wednesday and I'll go in and I'll pack it out and then he won't bring me in he won't give me a week. So
you got a Kinison story for us? He's part of the Outlaws, man.
Yeah.
That was such a classic.
Well,
I'll tell you just a rule. I don't have it. I saw him twice. My favorite story I ever heard. He talked about it on stage because he was in Pittsburgh and he loved it. It was a drinking town, and you could always find booze 24 hours a day.
Right.
So he told a story about it because he was in Portland and they didn't have booze on Sundays.
They stopped serving. So, all the bars were closed. They don't serve booze.
So
on
he got a limo. And call. He's let's get a limo. Called. You guys have booze in the limo. Yeah. So he bought a limo just to have the booze. Here's how great it is. When I met Jimmy, he goes, I was there that night.
Wow.
Yeah, but everybody's
small world.
Everybody's a little kind of, you know, a little jacked up, you know, and where he's going, you know, we need something to take the edge off. Is there any more booze? There's no more booze. How do we get booze? And then he goes, I got an idea. So he calls the limo. The limo pulls up. And he grabs the dude and he goes, hey, man, we don't really need a limo. We just want to get the booze out of the limo. So he throws the dude like $100 and he takes the booze out of the back of the limousine. And the dude goes, hey, man, you're Sam Kinison. He goes, hey, I own a bar, man, if you guys want to go. And we said, what? He goes, yeah, man, if you guys want to come in, I'll come and take. He took us to a bar. We're sitting in the bar. So we moved the party over to this bar where we can help ourselves. The dude shows up, cooks us some breakfast and stuff, and then took us to the airport in the limousine. So it actually worked out. The dude was like kind of, he had a bar and keys to a bar. We went in. I mean, I don't know what he was doing driving a limousine. I mean, maybe it was a side business or something, but went to this bar. We played pool, kind of hung out. The dude shows up a little bit later on, makes some break. He goes, here, guys, boom. And I said, hey, we're going to the airport. He goes, I got you covered. It took us. It was a great story.
Wow.
But, one of my classic stories, and I've wrote about this, is the story where I get to drive him off stage in a motorcycle. Where was it? The Comedy Store. And, you know, it was a Monday night, and it was going late, and there was a little Thai bartender, cook. Get off dead now. He get off now.
And I remember that guy.
Yeah, and at the time, I was Schlippity Old Schlagging, Mitzi Shores, and I was, I was sitting backstage on my motorcycle. And I was a kid, man. I was like, you know, and the dude goes, and they go, he get off now, and it's late. And I started up my motorcycle, and I'm just gunning it behind the curtain so you can see the light and hear the thing. And the dude goes, you going to drive out there? I go, I don't know. He goes, it's never been done before. I said, well, that fucking answers that question. Click, I drop it in the gear. He goes, well, if you go out, you need a joke. I go, all right, give me a fucking joke. He goes, just go out and say, it's last call. By the way, your ride's here. So I did it as a joke. We kind of pulled the curtain back and there was three steps there. And they had that. They didn't have that big metal sign there. It was all kind of cleared out back there. I mean, now they got that big Comedy Store sign back there. But I pull out and say, Sam called up and moved off to the side of me. And I drove right to the edge and said, it's his last call. And I looked at Sam and go, by the way, your ride's here. And he was like, I mean, he didn't know what the frick was going on. And I didn't realize later on, he told me he was scared to death of motorcycles. He goes, let's do it. And he throws down a mic and he jumps on the back of the bike. And I go, oh shit. So I had to, like, I drop it in the gear and I go right back. I kind of gunned it up to, because I got to make it up.
You got to go up those steps.
Yeah. So boom, boom, boom. I can make it up the steps. And I made the turn and I wasn't. I could have just, that would have been enough, but I kept going. We made the turn, and people are jumping into the dressing rooms back there. Get out of my way. And right out the back door, right onto Sunset, like a lunatic. I mean, you know, drive up to the light, and Sam had a death grip around. He's like, eh. And I didn't realize he was scared to death. And we make the turn, and he goes, Jimmy Schubert, you're a crazy motherfucker. And I said, yeah, yeah. And we wheeled back around, and like 20 or 30 people come running out of the main room because they heard us rip through the building. So it was kind of a cool thing. And then he got off. And I take it out, and I just took off. I just went home. And like 2 weeks later, I come back to the Comedy Store. It's a Monday night, and I guess Sam was out on the road. And I come back, and he's standing there with Lorraine Newman and Randy Quaid here. Jimmy fucking Schubert, get over here, you crazy bastard. And I walk over, and he tells a story. He goes, this guy, you know, and I'm going, yeah, I guess it sounds pretty cool. I didn't think anything of it. It's just something I did. But you know, it's kind of a legendary story about driving him on stage on a motorcycle. Yeah, it's kind of
yeah,
cool.
That's a great story. That doesn't get better than that.
You know, Alan Steven told me a story about they were going up to do a show in Canada, and apparently they had a gun in the car, and which the rest of the car didn't know about, and some party favors. And they pull up to the border, and it's clear that they're going to get searched. So all of a sudden, he sees Sam get out of the driver's or the passenger side and run across the border into Canada. He disappeared across the border. So then they searched him and the whole deal, and they somehow got out of it. I don't know how they got out of it. They were going to do a big concert, and they told the cops, look, if you hold us up, there goes the concert, something like that. So they let him go. But Sam had to go pick him up in Canada. He'd run off, and he was hiding up there.
Yeah, he doesn't mess around when it comes like that. When I was coming back down when I was coming back from Canada to the United States, we were back in, and they ran my, and I had a fugitive warrant out. The Outlaws of Comedy wasn't just a nickname. But I had this fugitive warrant, and I wound up getting locked up, and I had to pay my bail and the other thing, and I just made it to the gig the following night. Literally spent the night in jail. Had to go, and his brother Bill Kinnison waited for me, and me and Bill jumped on a plane and flew back. And Dan, by the time when we got to the venue, Dan Barton, who was just wrapping up, looks over, and I'm just chucking him a moon, go bring me on, bro. And I walked out. Literally, I didn't shower. I was literally spent the night in jail eating bologna sandwiches, and we made the gig. But it was like for some other thing I had to get taken care of later, but it all worked out.
Yeah. There you go.
It all worked.
Parking ticket.
I got five for fight.
Yeah, five for fighting.
They were at the Grey Cup.
Who was your favorite Flyer of all time?
That's a great question. I want to say Bobby Clark, and Bernie Perrant. I mean,
maybe not. You know, besides Bobby Clark,
it would have to be
Bill Barber.
Bill Barber. He's good. I mean,
I'm just throwing names.
Yeah. The Hammer. How about the Hammer? Yeah. You ever meet the Hammer?
No, I never met the Hammer. Never met the Hammer. But I mean, my love affair with the Flyers, started in the 73, 74, when they almost won the Stanley Cup hat trick. So I know that those guys are just legendary for me. Yeah. I like that kind of nostalgia.
You like them all?
Yeah. All those guys. I mean, Rick McLeish. Great.
Were you a Lindros guy? Do you like Lindros?
You know, but Lindros at the time when he played for the Flyers, I mean, he had concussions. He was injured a lot. I mean, I liked him, but I mean, he knew he was limited. He had like three concussions.
He was ahead of his time with the concussions.
Yeah.
Well, he was such a big guy. He's gay with his head down.
Is that why it was? Because he got a lot. Yeah, he was a great player, but what happened? The concussions drove him out of the game?
Well, he was 6'4", 5", 30, 40 back in those days, and he could fight. So his whole life, no one ever came at him. But when you make it to the NHL, like Scott Stevens, Casper Ryden, they'd hit him with it when his head was down the center ice. Lindros is like one of the I used to like Lindros. I really respected his game. I liked Lindros a lot.
Yeah, he had a good game. I mean, the concussions drove him out of the game.
That was the era of the Flyers that I didn't hate them to death, was they when they had the Legion of Doom. Yeah. Those guys played straight up, like in your face, knock you out of hockey.
Well, yeah. Think about Lindros. He could play, and he was a great skater, right? He could really play. But he got a lot of criticism from the coaching staff, and you see it now a little bit in the NFL for him not wanting to return right on time. He wanted to stay out until his concussion was over. You know, they try to rush you back in a lot of times.
Well, Bobby Clark did that, but his parents meddled in a lot of things that pissed Bobby Clark off to make a long story short.
His father meddled in, so it kind of that's what kind of soured that relationship. Yeah,
so they just kind of wanted to get rid of him. The funny thing, another twist on that whole thing is, you know, the trade to get who they traded to get Toronto to get Lindros to Quebec, and then Quebec moved to Colorado, and that's why the Avalanche were so good for 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, they gave the Avalanche their dynasty between the draft picks and the guys they got back.
Right.
So a lot of this weird history with Lindros, but he was a great player.
He wound up playing with the Rangers, right?
For a little bit, yeah. He never left
the Flyers.
Yeah,
right?
He was never the same, though.
He had
like 5-6 years where, like, he was, you know. I mean, it's funny. Everyone has like their 5 or 6 years, and then that's why there's only one Gretzky, because no one has 15 years of pure excellence.
Now you
know what I mean? But Lindros was on a huge, you know, he could have been a top 10 guy of all, like, now Jágr's arguably a top 10 player of all time. You know, Lindros was easily on track to be one of the 10 greatest players of all time.
But now
those concussions, I mean, it's no joke. People, you know, you'll see a lot in the NFL. And, you know, it's so funny. I was in a golf outing, a celebrity golf outing, and we rode in from the airport with Jim McMahon. And I was talking with him about that and how serious it was. And he goes, you know, I go into a room and I forget why I went in there. And I go, yeah. I said, that's called being 50.
See, I do that too. So.
But that's not.
I know what you mean.
But, you know, the thing is, these players sued the NFL. But I'm going to, you know, if you sue the NFL, then don't you also have to sue the NCAA? And don't you have to then go back and sue Pop Warner or high school ball? Because that's where it all starts.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, but that's why
they didn't get much money, though.
Here's my thing. Yeah. Why can't they come up with a helmet? Whether it's hockey or football, that, you know, helps out there.
Who was the middle linebacker San Diego, Junior Seau? I mean, shot himself in the chest on purpose because he didn't want to damage his brain so they could study it. I mean, he had some serious a lot of these guys, they've talked about it. I mean, you know, they wind up depressed. They can't leave the house. What good is it? And I don't think any of them would change anything. But what good is it if you have this great career, if then the later years of your life are, you know, you're depressed and thinking about committing suicide?
It was kind of like a family thing with Lindros, too, because his brother was not as good as him, but a good hockey player, and he was out of the league before even Eric was. His brother Brett had concussions.
But now, is it because the game is faster? Is that what it is? Why you get more of them now?
Well, it's not.
Just not report them back in the
office? You know, people say it's a collision sport. It's a contact sport. No, it's a collision sport. It happens. The game happens faster now. It's so much faster. The guys are bigger.
The equipment is now more weapon than safety. An old pad, you know, is kind of like soft and rubber. These ones now, that hard plastic, they might as well be steel coming at somebody's head.
Yeah, man. So...
Because the fights still don't give concussions. It's the elbows to the head that give with the pads on.
Yeah.
Or hitting the boards.
And that's the thing. Because they have pads, they're willing to hit a little harder. It's like the NFL. You know, they don't have concussions in rugby because they don't wear helmets.
Right.
And they don't wear pads. So they don't really, I mean, they have to have a proper form when they're tackling a guy or whatever the deal is. They have to use their shoulder. It's the, you know, but you put pads on a guy and they just come at you full speed, and that's why. I mean, you see some monster hits in the NFL that you go, oh, man.
You know, the other thing, I was talking to Fred Dwyer. Remember him from Hunter? And he played in the NFL.
Played the broken leg.
Yeah, he's a tough dude. But he was talking about today's game. He says the fundamentals aren't there. He said they don't teach you the tackling fundamentals like you were just talking about. So you know, there's a way to hit a guy without putting your head at danger if you're using proper fundamentals.
Yeah,
He said they don't teach those anymore. Everything's about speed and strength, and then they don't really. And I don't know if that's true for hockey too, but
in hockey though, literally though, like, you know, they're taught. I mean, they hit almost the same way they always used to. They're just hitting faster the pads are
straight. But an elbow now means more because you got the plastic on the.
You got the plastic on.
And also, it's like if you didn't have that pad on there, you wouldn't be throwing it
at the force that
you're throwing. And you know, these guys, they know it. I mean, they're out for blood. I mean, if the guys want to put on. But the problem is you end a guy's season, you can end a guy's career. Yeah. I was up in Boston 1 year, and I had tickets. My buddy worked for Pepsi. We got a box seats to go see the Beanpot Hockey Tournament up there with all the colleges, you know, Boston.
Great tournament, Harvard. Yeah.
No, it's a great – and it was the year that Travis Roy, they held his jersey, number 10, off the thing while they were playing. But this kid, it was 11 seconds on the ice, got checked into the boards and snapped his neck. He's a quadriplegic or a paraplegic now, but it is – kind of, you know, you spend your whole life training to play a sport, and then just like that, it's over. So maybe because somebody, you know, clips you with a, hits you with a, you know, a, you know, an elbow or.
Well, what's the answer to it? Is it rule changes? Is it?
I like your idea, just making the helmets where you. I mean, you're never going to be able to stop someone from breaking their neck and hitting the wall incorrectly. I mean, that's. You know, that's a freak accident. But the helmet thing could be more padding in the helmet.
Well, yeah, if you're sending people to the moon, how come you can't figure out a way to make a helmet?
Yeah. And while we're at it, why don't you come up with something better for birth control for men besides slipping a balloon on my penis? You know, isn't there something better? I mean,
isn't there a better way to do a prostate exam?
Come on, guys. On. You got to go knuckle deep. Well, look, at least take off the class ring. That's all I'm saying. So you went to Yale on 67. Ouch. That's awesome. But.
What's wrong with these scientists?
Yeah, we put all our priorities in the wrong place. But, you know, but they say, you know, Alzheimer's, the way that's going in the future, this is just going to be, you know, I mean, they developed boner pills, Viagra, and women get breast jobs, and, you know, there's going to be, you know, about 15, 20 years, there's going to be people walking around with Alzheimer's with big breasts and hard dicks, and they're not going to know what to do with them. You know, but I'm just...
Concussions.
Doc, I think I've got Alzheimer's. The doctor's like, could you pay me in advance? you know, the thing I'm thinking about, too, with rule changes, maybe, but when you look at the old tapes... The game's way slower.
Absolutely.
You know, you look at stuff from...
And actually, I tell you, I love watching that class. Those classic matchups, you know. You watch, you know, I mean, you're right. It is a little... It takes a little slow. I mean, you can't maintain, you know, you can't get any fast. I mean, it's already one of the fastest games on it's why sometimes it doesn't even translate to television a lot, because it just happens so fast. I'd rather watch a hockey game live than watch it on TV.
Oh, live's much better. Yeah,
but it happens so fast.
Even the puck, though, back in the days never really got up off the ground. I mean, or the ice. That's why the goalies even wore masks for the first 50 years.
Oh, yeah. Bobby Hull changed all that.
Bobby Hull changed
that. Well, the problem is, too, it's like, you know, they say about progress. I mean, progress is fine. It just went on for too long. I mean, you can't keep fucking with it, you know?
But, you know, Joey was pointing out, like, when...
Pucking with it, I meant.
There you go. When they took away the red line, for example, it made it more of a fast break game.
Yeah. Right.
You know, that kind of slowed things down because you had to. Passing wise, now it's a fast break game, so it makes it a faster game.
Yeah, I mean, and in as much as I mean, it's a give and a take because nobody wants to go back to 1-0 games and everyone's clutching and grabbing.
Yeah,
and then I mean, the big thing now is that now they have the new icing. You've seen the new icing now, where they blow it down before anything ever. Oh well, it's going to be icing. Let's just not get anybody hurt. You know, that takes a lot of excitement.
Well, you know,
that's
the same thing with jacking the balls up in baseball, you know, so they get more home runs. You know, I think what they should do is, this is my thing, because they make a big deal with, you know, A-Rod and the drugs and all that. He said all that growth hormone. And he said, all I did was have a McDonald's cheeseburger. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Come on, that's filled with HGH.
Of course it is. But no.
Try the McRib.
I think they should, what I'm saying is, my solution is, you have two leagues. You have a drug league. And then you have a drug-free league. And at the end of the season, they play each other. And when I say drugs, I mean everything. Speed, meth, you know, crack.
I think human growth hormone might be in hockey, or like the drugs to rehabilitate you faster. But I don't see that much.
You don't think they're roiding?
Not as much as they. I think in the early 90s, I think they were, because every team had two or three goons that were all roid raged out. And, you know, I think it's kind of come, because we were talking with Earl, like there's not as many goons as there used to be. It's just kind of.
But you made a point about the goons. You know, the fighting doesn't seem to, you know, you get a bloody nose or whatever, a fat lip, but nobody really gets hurt usually in a hockey fight.
That's why more people get injured by the flying elbow than when no one's looking.
Or running into the boards or a stick.
Right.
Yeah. I think you're right. I think it's not the fighting that does the damage. I mean, you know, unless you know, you look at some of those MMA fights. Oh, I mean, I don't even know if those guys get the concussions that they get in football and hockey.
No, but those guys really don't have anything else to do. I mean,
but what are you saying?
I mean, like they didn't even go. They couldn't even fall back on their scholarship from their fake scholarship from Florida State to go get a job. I mean, they're the MMA fighters, and that's what they're going to do. They're either going to be in jail or they're going to be fighting in a rink.
They're going to be in jail or fighting in a rink.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you know, if they have brain damage, I mean, that's kind of, oh, well. I mean, what were you really going to do? Well, you know,
I've hung out with some of those guys. We did an episode of The King of Queens, and they had Dan Hendrickson on, Rampage Jackson they had on, Randy Couture. You know, Kevin's friends with those guys. He had them on an episode. And I got to tell you, some of the nicest guys.
Yeah, they're good guys. I met them, too.
Guys. Yeah. I mean, you know.
Get it all out in the cage.
Yeah, that's what I said. I said, so what's with the, I said, Randy Couture. I said, what's with the ego? I said, you sit at TV, you would just eat a bag of chips like a normal person. He goes, no, I eat spinach. But I mean, these guys take care of their bodies. They're not, they're
athletes, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's no, Randy Couture was a judo. This guy's like a 10th degree judo guy. I mean, and he was one of the guys who pioneered the MMA. I mean, well, you talk about somebody building a brand. I mean, I can't tell you the last time I gave a shit about a heavyweight boxing match. You know, I mean, that MMA, they built that.
It's taken over. Yeah.
Yeah, it really has.
But I think the thing is, as much as they go crazy and hit each other and go nuts, not that many injuries. More in the hockey, I think it's more the speed of the game.
Yeah.
It's picked up.
Well, you talk about the MMA. I was at an MMA fight and a hockey game broke out. That's how nuts this guy.
That's a reverse of the old joke.
Yeah, that's the reverse.
I like that.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Come on. He just blow the dust off it, reword it, and shoot it out.
That's how we do it.
That's how we roll.
Yeah. Well, you know, what's the answer then? Did they try to improve the equipment? You know, they try to get a new helmet. What's the deal?
I think make the equipment softer and just, you know what? People are going to get hurt. We can't. It's not seventh grade girls soccer.
Yeah. We don't live in Narnia. All right. People are going to get their. You know.
Of course. But the thing that is, what if your star goes out though? So the thing is, like when. Crosby was out for so long there with a concussion. All right, that's a big player to be out for that long. It not only hurts your team, it hurts the league, and it hurts attendance.
That's exactly what I've been trying to say.
Yeah.
the league, the guys that go after stars with elbows high should get 25 games because no one is paying, you know, to see John Scott play hockey.
I think it's like with drugs. I think if you suspended, like if you suspended a whole team if one guy got caught using drugs, you suspend the whole team. I mean, they would wind up policing themselves. I mean, but you know, we live in this world where everything's got to be bigger and faster and better and quick. And I mean, people just feed on that. And it's like, no, if you think about how tough it is to, like, I was talking about somebody about this the other day. You look at the NFL, there's about 1,500 guys that play in the NFL. 1,500 guys in the United States of America, a country of 308 million people. You have 1,500 guys, give or take, over the season that are good enough to play that game. And then you look at the guys that are elite quarterbacks like Breeze and Brady and Manning, not Eli, but Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you got four guys that
play Roethlisberger.
Roethlisberger, yeah, of course, because you're
of course.
Nick Foles. You know, guys who play.
How many rings does Nick Foles have?
Zero.
Okay, I forgot.
No, he's. Hey, it's so
how many
fun.
Rings is?
This is a guy from Pittsburgh Steeler taking off all his Super Bowl rings.
Oh, here we go.
No, it's all right. Yeah. Look, it's coming out now. We may have to put him in the penalty box. No, it's. Yeah. But you're right. But I'm saying, all right. So you're talking about 6, 7, 8 guys in a league of 1,500 players that play a position at an elite level. And in hockey, it's a little less than that, but it's still the same thing. It's about, like, what is it? About how many? About 550 guys in the NHL?
Well, I would think in the NHL to make this point, say there's 550 guys playing hockey. I'd say 20 of them sell tickets.
Right.
Well, you know, I was talking to John.
The rest people just love to see, you just go to the hockey game.
Right.
But only if 20 guys are like, hey, I want to go see Ovechkin.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I was talking to John Sally because I'm from Detroit, so I'm a big Pistons fan. I don't know why these days. But back in the day, I loved the 04 Bad Boys. And I said, what's the difference between your era and now? And he goes, now they protect the stars. He goes, you know, we used to hammer Jordan when he'd go down the lane. We'd never give him an easy bucket. And he goes, now they protect the money guys. And he feels that in
the NBA. Well, it's like Derrick Rose as well with the Chicago. He's a star player.
But that's in those two sports, though. I don't think they protect the stars in the NHL. And I actually kind of think they go out of their way.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. They
go out of their way not to because I think they love the NBA does not – the NBA wants you to think that no one can beat LeBron at his height, and he's the best, and there's no challengers, and, oh, we'll have to wait for the second coming of Jesus Christ for the next guy, right? That's what the NBA kind of preaches. Like, we haven't seen the next Jordan yet. We don't know where he's at. And the NHL, they want you to believe that any farm boy from Saskatchewan can come in and knock Ovechkin on his ass because he's from Canada and he's a farm boy and he can win the Stanley Cup. They want their stars knocked down a level.
I think that's your solution. And I think, you know, unfortunately, you know, you live in a world where you want to protect the guys that sell tickets. You're saying in hockey, there's 20 guys that sell tickets. They
don't protect them though. Well, I'm saying
should they?
I think they should. But do you agree with me or not? I mean, I think they love the myth.
A
hard-working checking line can stop, you know, the Legion of Doom. And Scott Stevens can knock Lindros out forever if he hits him hard. It's like
– But when Crosby's out for a season and a half, that's not good for the league.
It's not good for the league. And the league's already got a tough time. They already got a tough time getting the contracts. They don't get the contracts that the NFL does. They don't get the contracts the NBA does. Because, like I said, it's not – like – some parts of the country, hockey's not enormous like it is up north and in the northeast region in Canada. It's huge. It's a huge game there. But, you know, so they don't get the contracts that football does. They don't get the, you know, the advertisers that they get. There's not as much money as it should be in the sport. But you're right. That being said, the guys that people do want to watch, they should protect them because then – You would get that kind of stuff. You know, people would.
Well, you know, when I met Gretzky, I told you I was lucky enough to meet him a couple times. And it was back in the day when, you know, he was with the Oilers. And, of course, he had Semenko. Right. Was basically his shadow. That was his bodyguard. They assigned a guy, basically, I don't know if it was officially assigned, but to, you know, kind of stay on his path and watch out. And I think, is that a way to do it? You put a big guy on your star? And just say, don't let him get messed with?
Well, you know, you're talking about Gretzky. A guy scores. I mean, you want to protect a guy who can score like that. Can score at will. Don't we have somebody calling in today?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We got to call Mike Young. Thank you for reminding us on our own show.
Well, Roddy, I wanted to wait for Roddy.
By the way, it all comes back around to your buddy James Caan. Remember Rollerball?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Things got faster and crazier.
It's a different you know, I think they got to stop fucking with it, you know, and just let it be. I mean, you know, you can't like constantly improve on a game. I mean, it's basically tradition. It's like, I think that's why when guys do mess with steroids, and you got, you know, Barry Bonds and these guys jacking balls out of the park. I mean, Babe Ruth, you know what Babe Ruth needed? You know, two hot dogs, four beers, a hooker, and a ride to the game, all right?
That was his roids.
But that's what I'm saying is now you got guys playing, really, you need steroids to play fucking baseball? I mean, come on, that's just...
I need steroids to watch baseball.
Jesus, yeah.
You know, something's got to liven it up.
Jesus, I mean, you know. Ty Cobb hit over like 400 two times his career. He hit like, you know, it's like, you know, I love the Lou Gehrig, 2,600.
Williams, all those guys.
You know, my favorite was Pete Gray, played for the St. Louis Cardinals in 1945. The dude had one arm. And he used to have two, but he got in the way with Ty Cobb was stealing third. But you need fucking steroids to play baseball. This dude had one arm, man.
Well, the guy pitched with one arm.
Yeah, there was a guy that pitched with one arm.
He had to throw a no-hitter with one arm.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he threw a no-hitter with
one arm. It's actually a one-hitter. But,
hey!
Folks.
No, he threw a no-hitter with one arm. Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
Have we got Mike? I like the way Jimmy had to remind us.
No, I didn't. I wasn't seeing Roddy, so I was like, "Oh, we're just chatting. No sense making a." But Jimmy was on the ball. Thank you, Jimmy.
Only because I'm a professional broadcaster myself.
He's a professional.
Yes.
I do a podcast myself. You know, we're not just all messing around. It's not just enough to be funny anymore. You got to do.
I did his podcast. We called his brother up. His brother goes, "Who the hell's this?"
I do have six brothers. In his defense, I do have six brothers.
Well, see, they didn't know.
It was the best. He goes, hey, how you doing, Johnny? Who the hell is this?
I love
my,
it.
My brother's home screen was all shot.
Now, where's your brother? In Philly?
Yeah, they're all in Philly.
Yeah. Oh, they come out to see you when you go out when you perform?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're all trying to make plans to come up to New York and do this, check out the...
For the Attell thing?
Yeah, for the Attell thing, which would be great. I'm real excited. I can't wait.
Man, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've done a great job with everything. Your stand-up, your acting. You've got a lot of acting.
You've got to keep all those fucking plates going, man. I appreciate it. I got to keep them all going. You got to keep the plates going.
Jimmy's a hustler.
Yeah, he works hard. He's been at it for a long time, man. I remember hanging out...
The Laugh Factory. The dude didn't even have a liquor license back then, and this is why I don't go in there anymore. That dude didn't have a liquor license. He served like these little wine coolers and these things, and it was just like, you know, you go up there, and I could go to L.A. Cabaret, you go to Laugh Factory, you do the Comedy Store, but I mean, he was just like that, and we would all hang out there. And then when he became like this, he didn't know anybody. It was like, you know, I was like, I mean, do you still do spots there?
I still do one a week. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I'm drinking wine cooler still. That's how I roll.
I drink some Zima, man.
I was in a contest.
I'm not in. Leave me a message. And oh,
we lost him.
I guess we didn't get him. That's Mike Young.
Fantastic comedian and a Detroit Red Wing fan.
Is he still on there? Can I leave him a message?
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, okay, call him back. Let's leave him a message.
Yeah. Yeah,
I know Mike Young.
Let's not make him feel
he's
bad,
cool,
though.
Yeah.
Cool.
And he's,
no, we won't make him feel bad. We just, you know, I might have had the wrong number. I probably had his cell, and he's probably thinking, I don't know. He still should pick up the cell, right?
He's probably not recognizing the number.
He's a Red Wings fan, though.
No,
we
he
got
is.
Some issues.
And an actual hockey player. He plays hockey.
No, he plays. Yeah, yeah,
a lot of guys do. Don't Steve Byrne?
I play with Steve. I mean, I'm terrible. He's good.
Yeah, Mike's got some great material in his act, though, about being in too many leagues. He goes, "I'm too busy. I'm in three leagues. I don't have time to
Mike,
go."
Mike, I'm not in.
And he's
leave
a director.
A message, and I will call you back as soon as possible.
We only get successful people on this show.
Yeah,
yeah.
At the tone, please record your message.
We don't want to say anything weird because he is a director. He might give us a job.
He ain't hired me yet, so let's get on. Hey, Mike Young, it's Jimmy Schubert. I'm sitting here with Joe Bartnick and Frazier Smith, and we're doing a hockey podcast. What's going on? We were supposed to call and represent the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
What's going on?
What's going on?
Give us a call back.
Come on, Mike. All right. I don't think he can call.
I hope
back.
Datsyuk gets better for
you.
Yeah, he's hurt. Datsyuk's hurt.
Let's get
right
Datsyuk
now.
Back.
He got a cheap shot, and he got a headache from it. Now he's out. That's
who?
A guy. Pavel Datsyuk,
who's a great player, I think. Great young player.
He's still great. Well, he's old now.
He's already got 12 goals this year.
He's a couple years away
see
from retiring.
See how Google works? I actually picked up some stats.
Yeah. Datsyuk's tough, though.
Who's leading the league? Crosby.
No, maybe not after today. As of this morning still?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Unless Google's behind.
I love the hockey teams, hockey players. You can tell good hockey players, they have no teeth. They have no front teeth.
Oh, yeah. And proud of it.
I'll tell you what, after Crosby got hit in the jaw, his face is different now. He talks out of the side of his mouth. And my wife is so upset. She's like, he ruined his pretty face. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, it's not, I mean, just
if
that.
If you have teeth, you're not doing your job.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
You're not going to the net hard.
Yeah. You're not going to the net hard.
You're going to the corner.
Yeah. There's something wrong with it when you're not allowed to have teeth in the league. You know what I mean? Well, you need an mouthpiece.
It's a two-tooth minimum.
No, listen. When you need a mouthpiece, no, I'm going to take them out. I'm just going to take my teeth out. They're not mine.
Who needs a mouthpiece?
Who needs a mouthpiece?
Or when they think your mouthpiece are your teeth. Yeah. Looks like he's got a smile.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's Mike Young.
No, it may be Mike Young.
You never know.
Anyway.
Well, you know, we'll see what happens with the rest of the season here. It's off to a pretty weird start, isn't
it? Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Frazier, I know you love the Kings now. You're kind of moved on.
I
love the Kings, and they're hitting a little rough spot right now.
I know it's sad, yeah.
Yeah, you know, they got to score some more goals. You know, Carter.
What do you think's going on there? Because Carter's a goal scorer. They
Carter's hurt.
How about Dusty Brown?
Yeah, well, he's playing his game. I mean, they're all kind of playing all right. They just need to score. It's like, you know, they're doing what they should do. They're putting the puck in the net, though. You know, when you're losing nothing, when it's nothing in the third every game, you're not giving away goals. You're not playing
because Quickie's
hockey.
A great goalie, and
well,
they've got Scrivens.
Right,
Scrivens is doing a good job.
Scrivens
for
is doing good.
The professor.
The problem is that's a tough division. You start throwing away.
The West is the best right now.
West is the best right now. I mean, three California teams all might go, or the Blackhawks. Blackhawks still look tough.
Still look good, yeah, don't they?
They're great. Yeah.
I mean, when they want to play, they're the best.
Yeah.
When they want to play, they're the best.
Yeah.
And that's all. It's funny. That's a regular season, you know. And we sit here in November, and I can talk about it for hours, the minutiae. But the fact is, most people aren't going to care until after Christmas.
Well, that's true. Well, you know, it's a long season. But who's doing good so far? We got Colorado's looking hot.
Colorado's still looking good.
St. Louis.
St. Louis is looking good. I mean, and now they're only starting to turn me to think they might be good in the playoffs. Usually they look good in the regular season and they fold. But now, you know what? They may score enough goals now to make a run in the playoffs. I still think you got to go through Chicago. I like all the California teams.
Okay.
And what about the Flyers are kind of eking in, kind of starting to win some games?
The Flyers are scaring me because I see the Flyers eking in just enough to get in the first round matchup against the Penguins. And the Penguins could have 190 points and the Flyers have 10.
Toronto,
and
how do they
always
do?
It's literally with the Flyers, it's literally like you can throw the record books out with these. I mean, it's literally never know.
Well, because they got a rivalry. I mean, you know, that's what you get. I noticed that more on teams like, you know, it's like the Red Sox and the Yankees. There's teams that have been in, you know, you just for some reason it seems
rivalry games. You got to throw it all out.
Yeah. But I mean, you know,
And that is it. I mean, you know, like they all month because the Penguin, Malkin, Crosby. It's the big team. They always want to have them on every week. Uh-huh. Rivalry. They show a big half hour special. Boston. There's some animosity. Yeah. You know, Washington, there's some animosity. Rangers, especially in the 90s, a lot of animosity. Nothing like the Flyers.
Yeah, nothing, of course. Nothing like the Flyers.
Of course. I mean, that you could do a 2 or 3 days miniseries on the hatred. I mean,
hatred of Tom. It's like, you know, it's like the Eagles and Giants. I played golf with this dude who played for the Giants. He goes, "Oh, we hated the Eagles. We hated them. We hated them." I go, "Really hate? Strong word." I goes, "No, hater." I mean, they would go after each other. It's just, you know, you get this conference rivalries. They just play, it's just like you said, they just play a different game when it's for some reason it could be, you know, it just means something.
And he talked about styles make the match, you know, the Penguins. I mean, there was years, you know, the Penguins like 3 years ago had the most fights in the league. You know, the Penguins will fight and everything, but the Flyers know how to do that chippiness. It's a chippiness.
They get under your skin.
They get under the Penguin's skin. It's just amazing. It really is. It's just we'll always be up by 2 goals, and then they'll do something. The Flyers will do something, so the Penguins will retaliate. Then you get in this power play penalty, and the game changes, and all of a sudden it's two. It's amazing. I mean, literally, it's just a war. It's literally a war. It's never just like a
fans
free
love
skate.
That.
It's never just a free skating.
But you gotta love that. I mean, it's two Pennsylvania teams. Yeah. It's a turnpike rivalry. I mean,
you know, it's almost like you wouldn't know what to do if you didn't hate them so much.
Well, it's
I gotta tell you, dude. I love Pittsburgh. I mean, I love the town.
I love eating in Philly. I have no. Yeah, like I have nothing against Philly. I just don't want the Flyers to ever win.
I just root against them, bro. You know, I just root against them. I'd rather see the Dallas North Stars win than friggin'.
You know what? I'm a Detroit fan, and we still hate Claude Lemieux. That's why we hate the Avalanche.
Well, it's like there's blood sports. That's why it's like, you know, like, oh, you know, that's why I always think the guys in Philly, now that the Phillies have won a few World Series recently.
Thank God.
That I'm like, and they get all into it and they're waving their banners, friends of mine and family. And I'm like, you would give it all away for a Flyer Cup or Eagles Cup. Because there's two man sports. You're not going to jail over someone making fun of the Pirates.
No.
I mean, hockey and football, those are the two that, like, someone's going to go
Dodgers
to jail.
The Dodgers, maybe.
Well, we've been to two Super Bowls. The Eagles have been to two Super Bowls. I mean, when we played New England, obviously, and a few years back, and then the one in 1980 with
Wilbur Montgomery.
With the Polish rifle, Ron Jaworski, leading the helm against the Raiders.
That's never a good sign when you're called the Polish rifle.
Dude, not the best nickname. No,
not the best. Guy breaks down backwards. Film. That guy breaks down film like nobody. I mean, he's great.
Yeah, well, it's not like the pocket rocket.
No.
I always thought that was the weirdest nickname ever.
Who's the pocket rocket?
Richard's little brother.
Yeah.
Well, Rocket Richard's little brother.
Oh, no kidding. The pocket
Henri
rocket.
Henri Richard.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm old school.
No,
it's the only name I know.
Pocket Rocket.
Yeah.
You know, that's a neat thing. I was just at
they called me in junior high. Good night.
I was just at the Hall of Fame. And they actually, in the Hall of Fame, they have the whole Montreal Canadiens locker room the way it was in the Forum.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's cool.
So I was getting all my selfies. Like, here's me sitting at, you know, Rocket Richard's locker. Here's me sitting at Guy Lafleur's locker.
That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's me dumping a load of nut butter into Bobby Orr's skate. Like, what? That's not right.
They have Al Noosh. Hey, what about the how are those Canadian teams doing? How are the Leafs and Montreal doing?
They're right there. They're probably going to make the playoffs in the East.
Yeah, they're looking better.
Yeah, right? And Toronto is making the two goaltender system work. Not too many teams can make the two goaltender system
work. See, that seems weird to me. You know, a guy's just getting warmed up, and then you pull him out of there. And then the other guy's got to come in cold.
Well, I mean, they alternate games.
Oh, okay. So they don't.
No, they don't come in like.
I think that's smart. I mean, you got a fresh set of legs. You want to have two backup goalies just in case. I mean, it's like having a couple running backs that come in. The one guy does the brunt of the work, but he's not an every down back. He just your power back, and then you bring in a guy with a fresh set of legs.
You would think. But unfortunately, it's more like the NFL where if you're running a
wildcat.
No. Like if you have two quarterbacks, you only really have one. You don't really have one. It's kind of like, it's nice to have two in a regular season.
We don't have
season.
Full trust in our...
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's nice to have two in a regular season where one guy maybe plays
We don't have
more
one great one, we got two mediocres.
Yeah.
The running quarterback, this guy's the passing quarterback. What do you think you're going to do?
You got Tuesdays and Wednesdays, you got...
Well, because coming to playoffs, the Penguins changed midstream last year and they didn't win. I mean, you don't want to
about the miracle on ice. They pulled out Trechiak, probably the greatest goalie ever, and brought in some dude that...
Yeah. Is now in Siberia.
Yeah. That guy will never get out of Siberia.
Yeah, I got to tell you, it's the same thing in Philly right now. I think if the Eagles stick with Nick Foles, I think they win. And they go on to win that division, they get a playoff spot. If they go back to Michael Vick, they're done.
But speaking of goaltending, I mean, the Flyers, since Bernie Parent, haven't really had a... That's been the Flyers' biggest problem.
As goaltending.
And that, I mean, that's like, thank God.
Why don't you get one in the draft? Why don't you go out and get a goalie?
You know, well, they have... The guys they draft, then they get mad at, they trade away. They've traded away more goaltending talent than probably anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, they trade away from Bobrovsky. He's doing an excellent job. He's doing an excellent job in Columbus. I mean, they've just traded away guys for no reason.
But you got to have one in case of injury too. If your guy goes down, like Quick, for the Kings.
Scrivens, but it's definite. It's unless Scrivens now goes 20-0, when Quick comes back, he's going to be the goaltender.
You still go with your main dude,
But that's
what happened to Alex Smith in San Francisco. The guy gets injured, they pull him out. I mean, the guy got a kind of bad deal there in San Fran. This guy was doing really great.
Yeah,
had the best stats
in the league.
Best stats in the league. Goes out with an injury. Kyle Kopernik comes in and just never.
Yeah, but I mean, no offense to Alex Smith, but they were always looking for someone to replace Alex Smith. I mean.
Yeah, but still, I mean, the guy was doing the job. I say what you want, but I mean, that guy had really good stats. I mean, he just kind of got squeezed out there.
Well, it's a confidence thing, right? It's a confidence. If you're telling your one guy he's your main guy, and then you start bringing another guy in, that's got to mess with his confidence, right?
But I would be shocked if the Kings, like I said, if Skinner's 20-0, then they might share the load for half the season. But I mean,
he is a professor.
I mean, Quick is going to start game one of the playoffs. He won a Conn Smythe. Once you've won a Cup as a, look at how long the Penguins haven't dumped Fleury after two abortions of playoff seasons. He's literally like, oh, he's our goaltender this season. You don't throw away guys that win Stanley Cups in the goaltending.
How about Luongo or whatever his name is?
I think he's overrated.
But that's what I mean. He always does poorly in the playoffs.
Yeah, he always does poorly.
And they stick with him.
Yeah, I mean, and basically Crosby saved his bacon. He would have lost the gold medal in Vancouver. You know, he would have been the GOAT of the...
Crosby did save the day.
Yeah.
Of course. He's the best in the league.
Yeah. He is.
Thanks, Jimmy.
but look at Ovechkin with 20 goals so far.
Oh, Ovechkin's on fire. He's great. I love watching Ovechkin play. There's no rival. Like, if Ovechkin was a Flyer, oh my God, I would despise him.
Let it go, Joe. We gotta do it. This isn't a podcast. It's actually an intervention.
But that just goes to the point about how they try to force the capital rivalry.
We're full service
rivalry. It's not a rivalry. I like Ovechkin. I like to see Ovechkin. You know,
unless he was a Flyer.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Then I would hate him.
Two guys on. That's why it was so big of me to really like Lindros. Wow. There's two guys on the Flyers.
You like Barber?
I didn't hate any of those guys on the old Flyers. I respected them because they always kicked our ass. So yeah. I hated the orange color.
Yeah,
the orange wow. color. But I didn't. You know, the team was just so much better than us. It was like, how can you hate someone and just beat your ass?
Well,
I couldn't pick out what I hated. I just hated losing.
Yeah,
it was the orange.
That's what it is. Yeah. That's what it is. I think I hated losing. I think that's what it was.
It was that color of orange. All right, we got to wrap.
Which is associated with him for losing.
Yeah. He'll never let that go.
I don't like orange creamsicles. I don't. Yeah,
he's not going to let it go. All right, before we wrap this up, Jimmy, Pats or Geno's?
Oh, Geno's. Geno's all the way. Geno's
and
all
why?
The way.
And why?
Well. Because I know Joey Vento. I met Joey Vento, the guy who ran it. He's since passed away, but his son runs the joint. And every time I go in there, they let me sit in the VIP booth and they let me make my own cheesesteaks.
Oh, you gotta love that.
And yeah, so I'm kind of like at least I get love from the homies back there. So yeah, it's Geno's all the way.
That's all that matters. Who but cares you know, if but you play the spectrum, you make your own cheesesteak at Geno's.
That's right. Yeah, that's all you need.
You made it in life.
That's right. Yeah. And the other thing is, there's a couple like they've the Steve Prince of Steaks out. And like at the Northeast where my folks live, and like you could pull in there at like 1:30 in the morning, you get the cheesesteak with the cherry peppers. Oh, dude, that's ridiculous. But I'll tell you what, and this is I'm gonna tell you this right now. I was in Chicago, and I love a good cheesesteak, but I'll tell you the best sandwich I've ever had is a Portillo's beef sandwich. I'm sorry.
Really?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. If you gotta go to Al's or Portillo's, it is an Italian seasoned beef that they shred, and I'm telling you, I could eat them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It's ridiculous.
Some guy just thanked me on Twitter yesterday for tweeting out at Al's Italian Beef, and that he went there, said it was the most amazing sandwich of his life.
Yeah, that's.
What about Pittsburgh? What are the things with the fries? And the
Permanis.
Permanis.
Yeah, those are fantastic. I tell you what, though, the Al's beef.
Yeah.
Really?
They don't have an Al's out here, but they got a Portillo's out here. It's 44 miles from my house to the front door. I will make the ride down there for a beef sandwich. If I get the hankering.
Where is it? Where is it? To go there.
That's right. Really?
Yeah, let's go
dude,
now.
Well, I'm telling you. I'm not kidding. Yeah. Dude, here's what you do. You go down. You have the beef sandwich. You wash it down with a cake shake. Then you go back for a dog with a little sausage. Then you can buy the supplies. They have the meat, they have the gravy, and they have the bread. You can buy that, take it home, fire up your crock pot, and have one for supper. We ain't messing around.
We got the sponsor for this show.
Yeah.
We got to get these guys to sponsor this show. We'll get on there every week.
All right, we found our sponsor.
Who do you think you're dealing with, Jackie Bananas? We know what we're talking about.
Well, isn't Jimmy Schubert the
Jimmy
best?
Jimmy Schubert is a legend.
He's the best.
There's a reason he's a legend.
He is a legend.
Man. An outlaw.
And that word is literally thrown around too much.
No, he deserves it.
Jimmy Schubert is a legend.
Great guest.
And thank you. And I have delivered to prove it.
What? No. He is a outlaw. You can see it. It's on a plaque. Yeah. All right. We want to thank you for coming on the
show.
Thanks
for having me,
Frasier. You were awesome.
And thanks
buddy.
For letting
Great
me sit in,
you.
Joe Bartnick, Frasier Smith. And by the way, if people want to send an email to the program, they can send it to puckoffpod@yahoo.com. Yeah. Look at me jumping right in. I remind you about your guest.
About the phone call.
About the puckoffpod@yahoo. Puckoffpod. If you want to send these guys an email and tell them to. Give them a piece of your mind. You said the puckoffpod@yahoo.com. Look at me doing plugs left and right.
He's doing it all.
I'm a utility player. I'm a good utility player.
Thanks for joining us, Jimmy.
He's the best.
Joey, good to see you, buddy.
Great to see you, Frasier.
Thanks for joining us, guys. We'll see you next week on Puck Off.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Good night.